Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, finn@offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up today, and I hope you enjoy the show. Today I'm going to tell you about the day early in the 1900s, when Oregon's famously teetotaling prohibitionist Governor Oswald West bought drinks for the entire house in a high desert town marshal's saloon where he was making a stump speech. I wrote this story in July of 2011. It ran in the newspapers on July 31st of that year. It seems the legendary governor was dropping in on a trip to Boise, gave a speech in this now ghost town called Harney City. A few years later, he pardoned the town marshal who'd been convicted of assault with a deadly weapon. It was the Wild West, wasn't it? Here we go. A dozen or so miles out of Burns, just off Highway 20, there's a spot along Rattlesnake Creek where, if you know just what you're looking for, you might find the last remnants of one of Oregon's most gone ghost towns. This is, or rather was, Harney City, formerly the seat of Harney County. Today it's hard to find. It's been a ghost town since the 1930s, when the last of the high desert homesteaders gave up and moved away. But in 1912, when Governor Oswald West dropped in to make a stump speech, it was a thriving community of 100 souls with a couple sawmills and a stockyard full of sheep and a Presbyterian church and a general store and a saloon. West surely wasn't the only Western state governor to have made a stump speech in a soon-to-be ghost town, but he may have been the only one to make a speech in a town so remote and so tiny. The other funny thing about this speech is that just before making it, West, the governor who more or less sponsored Prohibition in Oregon, rang the bar bell in the town saloon, bought drinks for everyone in the house. Here's the story. West was in his second year as Oregon's governor. He was on his way to a conference of Western governors in Boise. Riding out of Burns, he headed for Harney City, where he hoped to make an afternoon speech. When he got there, he headed straight for the general store and talked to the proprietor, Fred Haynes. Now, Fred was a staunch Republican, but graciously refrained from throwing the Democratic governor out of off the premises and told him town meetings were usually held in the church. Prompted for more information, he allowed that the town marshal was the man to talk to about making such an arrangement. Prompted again, Fred clearly was not bending over backwards to be helpful here, he told West the town marshal could be found across the street in the local saloon, which he owned. This wasn't as unusual as it sounds to the modern ear. The town marshal of Portland in the 1870s and later its first police chief was a fellow named James Lapius, owner of a famous stump town saloon called the Orofino, although it has to be said that James Lapius was rather a notorious fellow. Back to our story. West went to the saloon and found the joint packed with about 40% of the population of Harney City. Sheep herders, packers, and mill workers all eating and drinking, with the town marshal pulling beers and filling orders for food at the bar. It was almost certainly lunchtime, though West didn't say specifically what time it was. Governor West introduced himself and asked about using the church. The marshal was happy to oblige, though his cooperation may have had something to do with West's next move. Quote, "Although a pronounced prohibitionist, I didn't have the crust to ask such a favor without setting up drinks for the crowd," West remembered later in 1949. "After the ceremonies at the bar, the marshal said, 'All of you get the hell out of here. I'm going to lock up. We're going down to hear West make a speech.'" Across the street traipsed the happy lunchtime crowd, followed by a number of other residents attracted by the steeple bell, which the marshal was vigorously ringing. The gov delivered a speech, shook some hands, and headed out toward Vail and Points East. A year or two later, West was in his office in Salem. Things were going well. The Oregon Beach Highway Law had passed. The wheels were already turning to outlaw the sale of drinking alcohol in Oregon. He'd gained some nationwide notoriety for the incident at Copperfield, where he'd declared martial law and sent his secretary at the head of a detachment of National Guard troops to padlock every saloon and gambling hall in the place, after the county sheriff's response to complaints of corruption and illegal activity there weren't vigorous enough for him. And that's about when the Harney County Sheriff stopped in to let the governor know he was bringing an old friend to Salem. Specifically, to the Oregon State Penitentiary in Salem. It seemed the Harney City town marshal slash saloon keeper had gotten into a frank exchange of views with a couple of local competitors, the town of Harney City apparently not being big enough for more than one saloon. The antagonists had gone for pistols, and the town marshal had ended up plugging one of the other two in the arm. Tried and convicted, he was now on his way to Salem to serve time for this felony. "Well, when you bring him down, drop him in here on the way to the pen," West replied. When the saloonkeeper slash town marshal slash convicted felon arrived at the governor's office, he got a surprise that may not have been so surprising. Quote, "I had a pardon prepared for my Harney friend, and as I handed it to him, I said, 'Brother, go thy way and shoot no more,'" West recalled. I haven't been able to learn this marshal's name, although somewhere in the state archives there is surely a copy of his pardon. West discreetly leaves it out of his account, but within a year or two, the saloon he was fighting over would turn into either a restaurant or a speakeasy, as Oregon's prohibition law kicked in. And not many years after that, the entire town would be left to the jackrabbits. That's our show for today. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a daily RSS feed to catch on your smartphone news reader, a Facebook page, a Twitter feed, and a couple other minor components. You can access all those at our anchor page at offbeatoregon.com. I do this for learning and for fun, so I don't sell advertising and I don't ask for donations. But if you feel like making a donation anyway, may I suggest that you buy a copy of my book instead? It's called Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town. It was published by the History Press in 2012, and you can order it on Amazon, or if you'd like a signed copy, from the store link at offbeatoregon.com. However, if you still have a community bookstore in your town, I hope you'll consider buying it from them instead. It sells for $20. Photographs and other images that go with today's show are on offbeatoregon.com, where you'll also find full citations to the sources I used in writing this story. The podcast, like most Offbeat Oregon history resources, is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, and was written by Carmen Ficarra. If you're ever in Corvallis, do drop me a line. Maybe we can grab a cup of coffee and talk history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com. Don't be a stranger now. Our next show is going to be coming your way at around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.